This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Guy Donaldson,
Alison Alden,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Guy, you're a well-known personality in the Palmerston North music scene.
Well, that's what people tell me. Yes, of course that's all relative, isn't it? I'm well known amongst the people who enjoy concert music or classical music, as it's called.
Yeah. Yes. So how did that come about? You got involved in music very early, presumably?
Well, that's actually, when I reflect upon it, it's quite an interesting story, because I was raised in Whanganui, and initially I was quite interested in drama, but I had some speech defects. I had a stutter and a lisp, and couldn't say my R's properly, and I was sent off for speech lessons, and which I hated. Mm-hmm. And I pleaded with my mother, could I please give up speech? I got my grade 3 speech, but I didn't do any preparation for my regular weekly lessons, and my teacher wasn't enjoying my presence either. So in a moment of wisdom, my mother said, yes, you can give up speech, provided you take up something else. How about piano? And I remember saying, do I have to?
I thought you were going to say, like, the King's Speech, get you singing.
No, and I reflect back on that, and I wonder why I said, do I have to? Because my grandmother had been, in Whanganui, a piano teacher. I never heard my grandmother play the piano, but in her residence on Dewey Hill, as was usual in that time for the generation, there was a front room which was never used, and in the front room there was an upright piano. And when we visited on Sundays, my grandparents, I would detach myself and go into the front room and fiddle around on the piano. Mm-hmm. So looking back, I was clearly attracted to it all. So I was invited by my mother to take up piano lessons, and immediately when I went, it was okay, because some of the other neighbourhood friends were also going to the same piano teacher that I went to, and I discovered she wasn't a very good piano teacher, actually. I discovered that I enjoyed it, and I became a very good sight reader, because I would go to piano lessons and explore the pieces in the books there, and she was correcting a student's theory, because she'd have up to 4 people in the room at the same time, and those 3 were doing theory, and she would look up and say, that's very nice, next piece. And so I turned the page and have a look at something else that I might dabble in. But that was a start which was self-generated, and we didn't have a piano.
Well, I was going to say, were you happy to practice? Because I think that's something a lot of young children find a real burden.
Well, having started the piano and having discovered that I was attracted to it, I had the options of either going across the road to play at a neighbour's honky-tonk piano, which I didn't often do there because it wasn't convenient for them. I would sometimes go to an aunt's place, so I'd bike there, and on weekends I would bike across town and up to Dewey Hill and practice on my grandmother's piano until I became a real pest. And to my parents and said, please, can I have a piano?
How old would you be?
Well, I didn't start piano lessons until I was in what we would say the intermediate school years. And then, so that I would have been about 13 or so when we got a piano. And I was more or less sent to Whanganui Collegiate by my parents. My father had said to me that I had complete choice as to what school I might go to. I could either go to Whanganui Collegiate. I had been enrolled there from the age of 9 months. Or I could go to Whanganui High School, or I could go to Whanganui Collegiate, or I could go to Whanganui Technical College, or I could go to Whanganui Collegiate.
Good choice.
I sort of got the point.
Okay. Now, on the music issue, so you were a late starter compared to most pianists?
Very much a late starter.
Okay. So you think that held you back, or you just had the inclination and the ability, so you were able to be on a par with your peers?
I sometimes, what would have happened if I was born into a family which had at that time actually valued music making, and it had an early start and had discovered that as it happened. It was a good thing that I was sent to Whanganui Collegiate because my going there coincided with meeting what was to become a significant piano teacher. It was Maurice Collier, who had was recently returned from studies in London. And he saw the potential that I had and gave me extra piano lessons each week, and he was a very rigorous teacher.
So this was an automatic part of schooling, not you?
No.
You had to pay on top?
My parents had to pay for it.
Yeah.
But since I was already having had piano lessons from when I was at primary school at that stage, they were happy to see me continue because I was showing some promise.
So they had an image of you actually going further with the music?
Yes. It was sort of in my mother's background, because of my her mother having been a piano teacher. And there was also in Whanganui there had been a Gilbert's music shop. And my grandmother was her maiden name, it was Millicent Gilbert. And so there was a connection there. So that there was music in the background, not that my mother was... She had dabbled a bit in piano, but, you know, it wasn't an important part.
Okay. Now another aspect. You're talking really about the 1960s in Whanganui.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. New Zealand then, I saw the emphasis for boys might be fairly heavily on sport and so on. So what was the attitude with your friends? So was it just accepted, yes, you do all the music, or you have to be good at sport as well, or was there any sort of implication there?
Well, I have to say it was a shock to the system when I went to Whanganui Collegiate because my father thought that the collegiate life would be good for me. That was coming from a point of view where both of my parents were very sports mad, and my father being a fine rugby player and a swimmer and all the rest of that, and the idea of having a son who played the piano was a bit strange and foreign, but he thought that it would be good for me to go to a school where there was school 6 days a week, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays, the whole of the afternoon was devoted to sport. Mm. And, of course, it was actually 7 days a week because we had to go to chapel on Sundays as well. So it was a rather bizarre thing there. So I was felt as though I was a duck out of water.
Yeah. And he hoped that it had knocked the music side out of you and get you on the rugby field? Or?
No, I think he thought that it might create a bit of balance in my life, that I might be introduced to the sport and that I had not showing much interest in at that time, and so that was the hope.
So how about among your peers at school? You became friendly with other music inclined boys, or just generally the
yes. Unfortunately, my voice was already breaking before I got to secondary school, so I never joined the collegiate choir, which was very good at that okay. stage. So that wasn't part of my background. I showed some aptitude academically, and so that for me was a saving grace in terms of acceptability. But to answer your question, within a short period of time, thanks to the attention that Maurice Collier gave to me, I was starting to develop my skills at the piano. And in the eyes of my peers, that sort of was an acceptable alternative to excelling on the cricket field or the rugby field.
So was it that you, I know I recall so a young guy who could play a guitar would always be popular. So the piano helped with that for you. You used it for social events.
I went to a reunion at collegiate. Have actually attempted to stay well clear of such reunions in the past because I don't necessarily identify myself as being part of the collegiate clan there because I've never really seen myself as belonging culturally there. But I went to a reunion and a couple of people said how significant it was for them to actually have seen me through the window doing my practice and playing what for them was amazing things. So that I had some kudos there. But it wasn't reflected back to me directly there. So that was, you know, it was, I was acceptable on a particular level because I had I was somewhat eccentric in my interests, but there was some respect for me for that.
And you weren't knocked back by the tall poppy syndrome?
No.
Okay.
And you were a day boy?
I was a day boy, at Marist House. And which is interesting because in those days, the life of a day boy wasn't all that different from that of being a boarder. We had very few privileges except that we could go home in the evenings, provided we biked, we wore our cap, and we weren't allowed to go into town. And it was a very interesting sort of life there. But yes, I was a day boy.
Okay, and a standard question for schooling in those days, was there much in the way of discipline or physical discipline?
I had an interesting start when I was at Whanganui Collegiate because within 2 weeks of being at the school, I collapsed with peritonitis and was shunted off to hospital and spent most of the first term in hospital or recuperating at home. So I started my first full time at Collegiate in the second term, and I was a good boy at that time. But you didn't have to do very much wrong to be caned. And and so I think I got a total of 12 strokes of the cane in my second year. For very minor things.
And you're a better person for it, you think?
Oh, I'm a superb person now as a result of it. Oh, no, it was actually very interesting. It helped leap forward to my last year at Whanganui Collegiate when I was, much to my surprise, I was made a school prefect. This was extraordinary because there were almost no examples of anybody who was made a school prefect who wasn't in the first 15. So somehow the kudos that was there. However, as a prefect, one of the things which we were required to do is cane other boys. At that time, that was the culture of the discipline at that time, and there was that statement of "this hurts me more than it hurts you," because when it was my turn, I was revolted by the notion, and I was not very good at it, because it just. And the interesting thing is that my generation, who were required to do that, were also had decided this is not what they wanted to do. So a tide was turning at that time, that it was in the air. At that time, so that there was starting to be amongst the boys in particular, because we were aware of, that some of the teachers caned for their own satisfaction, gratification, and we saw it and we couldn't do much about it, and so we were part of a wave which we could coming through, but said no.
So, and then after, so you were developing your piano skills at school. You then decided you would move on to a career in music.
Well, that was quite interesting actually, because the in my third year at collegiate, there was a rift occurred between the head of the music department and my teacher. And my teacher resigned. It's my piano teacher resigned, and within a year the head of music shifted on, and so I was left for at least 2 years without any teacher. I was very sad that my parents didn't seem to notice that this was an issue, that I had no teacher for 2 years. But so I carried on the best that I could, and
so you just you carried on just regularly practicing and
doing what I could do.
Did you use much sort of recorded material to give you
ideas? It wasn't the culture at that time. I used to save up my limited pocket money and buy LPs and things at that stage, but. But by the end of my time at collegiate, and I was still doing sufficiently well to get music. I was doing academic music there. I did sixth and seventh form music and got music prizes because I was the only one who was doing academic music. but I decided that going to university might be an opportunity for me to... pick up where I had left off. And so I applied, a decision was made, I think I was part of the decision, to go to Canterbury University, which had a good reputation there.
So that was the strong place in New Zealand for
that
music?
That was seen to be a strong place there, and Morris Till was the piano tutor there. And the advice we'd received, it was a good student city. And so I applied for the College House Hall of Residence, and that they had strong links at College House with private schools. And so I got accepted there. It was an advantage of going to collegiate. And I was also... applied to do the music performance course, and as it happened, there was not many others who were applying to do the do piano there. Now, my skills weren't hugely advanced by today's standards. There, when I think about my own students who are at secondary school level, they are now performing way in advance of what I was back then. But I was accepted. And so that meant that when I went to Canterbury University, my focus was on doing a BA in English and a side diploma of music and performance.
And the music focus then was on performance rather, or that was a component?
Yeah, as part of my BA, I did some music papers.
Yeah. So within the music sub major or whatever.
Diploma of music was mainly performance, and there were some required supplementary papers you had to do to get it, which I did in the latter stage of my diploma. But for me, the most important thing was this was an opportunity for me to pick up the piano.
Yeah. And the emphasis would be on classical?
Yes, or? Absolutely. Yeah. When I was going through university, there was no other music. The times have changed a huge amount, and it was all about concert music and nothing but concert music.
And you were happy with that, or you?
I didn't know anything. I had become an enthusiast for concert music. There, I had discovered.
Did you try playing a piano version of some of the pop songs?
But. When I did so, when I was required to do so, even like now when I do as an accompanist and whatever, but if I play jazz, I play jazz with an accent. Anybody who's in the area can tell that I'm not a jazz musician. But for me, I had discovered concert music.
Yeah.
And this was in the 1960s. And I read some time ago that Leonard Bernstein, the conductor in the 1960s, had made a statement that from his point of view, that concert music was an expression of spirituality. It would almost replace the churches there, because this was the closest to the divine that you could come through concert music.
And instead it's been rap.
and the culture has changed. But in those days, I was a convert. You know, that the concert music for me was something absolutely glorious. And
so this would be piano solo or within an orchestra?
Well, my main focus when I was at Canterbury University was on piano solo performance. But as part of our studies in the first and second years, all the music students were required to sing in the university choir, which was a useful experience for me, as it turned out, for later on. And as part of the diploma of music, I was also had to do chamber music, so that that there were other avenues of performance. So I did concerts with other musicians. I had amazing good fortune that one of my concert performance which I did for my diploma of music in the Mayo Marsh Theatre of Christchurch was a performance of Menotti's The Telephone, which is a one-act operetta, and with only two singers on stage. In the chamber music performance that I was involved in with, I was on stage seated at the grand piano accompanying this work, and the baritone soloist for that was Christopher Doig, who was later on to achieve fame as New Zealand's leading tenor, as well as being the CEO of New Zealand Cricket. I was almost killed in that performance, took place in front of the fire curtain on the Nyamash Theatre. And as we were in the middle of the... Maurice Toole was the telephone operator at my side and also turning pages for me. And during the course of the performance, I felt an uncomfortable feeling on my legs. And I shifted myself and then looked up and discovered the far end of the concert grand was rising up in the air. And some fool backstage had pressed the fire curtain button, and the fire curtain had a lip on it, and it was lifting the piano right up there. I thought I was about to be crushed, but it was only a certain distance that a grand piano can be lifted up in the air before it detaches itself. Then the next moment, end of the piano went plummeting to the stage and went straight through the stage, and my hands were knocked aside as the keyboard came up to meet me. And
that could have been the end of it.
Well, it was the end of the performance. And after that, there was a resounding crash and this stunned silence. And Maurice Toole got up and peered down the hole and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have two regrets. One, this is the end of the performance. And two, the piano appears to be in one piece." Because he had just been sent off to Germany to audition a grand piano for the main hall of, this was an opportunity to replace this piano. But in any case, that was...
I was going to comment when you said that it was called The Telephone. I was going to say, that sounds more like a comedy than a... It's a serious performance.
It is a comic opera. It's about the man who tries to...
Special effects.
So, unfortunately, we never got to the end crunch of the opera. We had a different crunch instead.
And the newspaper headline.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that was... forgotten what your original question was, but in any case...
The performance of groups and... We're nearly at time.
Yes.
But just like now, there's all this thing, you don't really need a piano, you don't need a piano now, just use an electric keyboard. What's your opinion on that?
I have gotten my music studio, I've got an electronic keyboard, which I use when I have to, for outdoor performances. However, I never agree to play on an electronic keyboard for solo work, because the sound is not the same, the responsiveness of the keys is not the same, I'm not being precious at all when I say that the an acoustic piano offers a far greater range of colour and variety of sound.
Yeah. Than the upright compared to the grand?
I, of course, prefer the grand piano because, for one thing, the strings tend to be longer, and so there's a greater range of dynamics and colour and also of touch. The grand piano action has, if you're playing fast notes, it can repeat much more easily than in an upright. But okay. I would be happy, and I do play upright pianos if I'm asked to for solo performances. Yeah.
Well, that which raises the issue, as you say, you know, you can press a key and it plays a note, but how you press the key is so important. Is that something difficult to teach?
Yes. And like any area of skill, over a period of time, we get closer and closer to the heart of the subtleties of playing it. To start off with, we just teach how to do it in a very ordinary way. And as the student gets more advanced, then we get down to closer to the subtleties of it all.
This is part one of five. Tune in next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.